is HBR, All Things Considered. I'm Dave Lawrence, and today, what a thrill, welcoming an artist at the Blue Note next Tuesday and Wednesday, February 17th and 18th, shows at 7 p.m., and really special for myself, it's a guest we have never had, but whose siblings, Ziggy, has been right in this studio with me, playing his guitar and hanging out. Steven has been with us, Kimani, Damien, but today a very, very special one, never on with us, and I just can't say enough how much I appreciate from the Marley family, multi-instrumentalist Julian Marley. Aloha, my brother. Thank you so much for being willing to do this.
Greetings, my brother. Thank you for having me on the show. Much blessings.
Yes, much blessings to you. And share with folks what's in store at the Blue Note.
Well, we have the Uprising coming, you know, and that's the original band, you know, some great musicians. You have to come and hear the music, you know, but we have a nice band, full-size band, and backing singers, and we'll be performing a few new tracks, you know. We release a new single, Polish My Heart.
Right.
So we might, you know, take a run of that and a couple other stuff and have some fun with the people, you know what I mean?
How far back do you go with the islands, Julian?
Well, first time I went to Hawaii was, let me see, I think it was probably like 1995 or 1996 or 1997.
No, okay.
Yeah, probably like 7 or 8.
Not long after your debut, it sounds like.
Yes, yes. Being in Hawaii and the whole vibration is different. You know, it's totally different than anywhere else that you've been. You know what I mean? It's a different vibe.
For you, as a world traveler, you're born in London, and this is one of Bob's children, or keiki, that's what we say here. That's Hawaiian for children. Where do you think Hawaii stands in terms of reggae fans? Because when you're here, I guess I'm going to point out, you see your dad's face everywhere. You see the reggae colors. It's like all over.
Very special. It is very special. Like, we play lots of places, but like, say for instance, okay, we're playing two nights at the Blue Note. Mm-hmm. That's like, okay. Most places you play one night.
Hmm.
You know, so to play two nights is like, okay, that means like the people love the music. There is a fan base for reggae music and Bob Marley and the whole movement of reggae music. You know what I mean? There's a strong movement in Hawaii. So we can really feel that, you know, even by listening to music and listening to our other brothers that make music from Hawaii and from New Zealand, come right across. There's a wave of reggae music that's taking people from ever since that I can even remember, you know, the freedom and the message in the music. That music coming from Jamaica connects to all islands. It comes right straight to Hawaii as another island again where the people is living that nature life and that loving of the nature and the freedom of the mind type of living. Island to island, you know.
I like that, island to island. And there's a, you've heard the word Jawaian before?
I've heard it, but I don't know the full.
Wow, that's cool. Well, there's a whole genre, they call it Jawaian, and it's like basically local Hawaii artists who are playing reggae and their own kind of, like you talked about it, because there's a lot of reggae from here, but anywhere, that's a term, Jawaian. Yeah. So it's great to throw it out there, because some of your brothers know the term better than you, so it's just really neat.
Yes.
That and you mentioned islands. You know, Julian, and I sometimes forget to, I don't even know if I've asked, I've talked to Ziggy many times, but Haiti. Haiti never gets enough coverage. When I used to live in Boston, I knew some Haitian cats really well. Is reggae strong there, and have you ever gone and played there?
Well, I've never been there before, you know, but I mean, reggae is strong everywhere because reggae music is the music of upliftment, of freedom, of speak for yourself and stuff like that. So I would feel it is big. I know my father, inspiration is in lots of different places. You know, we've been to India and I've seen Bob Marley on the back of, you know, the taxis and the cars and everything, you know what I mean? So you can really see, whoa, this music goes so far that we don't even know where it goes.
You've been to Cuba?
No, I've not been there yet, neither. No.
Wow, okay, that's cool. So,
but I know the music is there, too.
Gotta be, my brother. Like you said, it's everywhere. You'll be in Morocco and Tel Aviv, whatever it might be, I'm sure.
It's true.
And so you have this crazy story, though. You know, one of the neat things is those first, like, 5, 6, 7 years of life, they turn out to be so important, and sometimes we can't believe how much it shapes us. So you have this story I'm hoping you'll share, just as an inspiration. So you, at 5, you traveled from London and got to record in Kingston. Tell the story, what you can remember and what you've been told.
Well, I mean, it was probably me and the engineer that was there, and he's not even, I don't even know where he is in the world at the moment, but it was just me and him, and being a first exposure to music in general, like, you love music, but you've never seen an instrument in your life, or you've never been around an instrument, or so to be able to come to Jamaica and to, you know, go into your father's studio, Tough Gang, which is the original Tough Gang, you know, where he recorded like Survival and Uprising.
Yeah, bro.
So you go there and then it's like, whoa, here's a drum set. So that was the first thing I was trying out. And then after, the engineer said, hey, let's do a little thing here. Put on the drum machine and was playing some chords. And, you know, we just started to sing. And then I remember you recorded it on a little cassette, you know. And I think I have that cassette somewhere, but I can't locate it yet, but I know it's somewhere.
And this is like 1980 that this is happening?
Like 81.
Oh, 81. Okay, so it's after the passing of your father.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Are there distinctive memories of your father that pop into your head?
Not really. Only going to the concert in London, 1980 at Crystal Palace. Yeah, I remember going backstage and, you know, running around, so being like five, running around and stuff, and going into the tent, which was his dressing room. And I remember running up to him and like, I don't remember if I run or if I crept or I walked, I don't remember, but I remember like, whoa, you know, as soon as you enter this tent, you see this man standing up, and the glow off of this man is so, it's just like, you know, you shake his hand, it's like, you know, it was like, you're wondering, like, what should I do? Well, it's work time, so you can't really do much because he's about to go on stage, you know what I mean?
Sure,
so
sure.
That's one of the memories. I remember, like, being there for a second and then running out.
My Lord.
Running around with the rest of the kids.
That's powerful. Yeah. Ziggy and Steven are there, or?
You know, different kids, like, other kids that, you know, came with their parents.
Got it. Not your siblings, but other people your age who were also being
friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
Sure, sure. You know, one of the cool things talking to your brothers that's really important to share, especially Steven and Ziggy, I guess. So I grew up in Wilmington, Delaware. Do you know the significance of Wilmington, Delaware?
Of course.
Okay, so did you visited your grandmother there?
Well, no. By that time, she was already living in Miami.
Okay.
So she moved to Miami like in like 1977 or 78.
Okay. So, but yeah, there was other Marleys that stayed there in Wilmington and are still there, right?
Malcolm's, which is like not my father's father. It's more like my grandmother's father's children and stuff like that.
Got it.
On the other side, so the Malcolms.
Right, that's the name. I remember that, right. So when you ever are in that area, does it have any significance to you?
Yeah, man, big significance. Because when you go there, you can just feel the inspiration of, like, you think, like, I wonder if my father walked across this road, or there's a park right across the road from where he was staying, and, like, you go and, you know, sit down on a bench, and, like, maybe he was sitting at this bench, and, you know what I mean? So there's so much things that is connecting you to your roots.
Totally.
There.
Totally.
Thinking, you know, asking questions, whatever, you know, but just to be there, yeah, nothing beats being there.
Oh, that's so huge you say that about Wilmington, because I'll tell you, man, they're very proud of it there, and it gives me chills to hear you say all that, because it's all true, and your brothers were going to school. Ziggy was, like, in elementary school when I was. We were not at the same school, but we were in the same town, my brother. So I'm giving you a high five that you have that. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you taking some time to talk about your fascinating life with us and your experiences. I hope you enjoyed it. Was it kind of fun? Did it keep you remotely interested?
Yeah, man. It was a great vibration. It's good to, you know, reason. We call it reasoning.
I like it.
So it's good to reason.
I love that. Giving you a hug, a high five. And again, it's a real thrill to be welcoming you next Tuesday and Wednesday, February 17th and 18th, shows at 7, Blue Note, Hawaii. Julian Marley is going to be there and our guest today. Thank you, dude.
Thank you, my brother. Bless you.
Aloha.
Aloha.
I'm like a lion in the morning. muzzle of the lion. The Iron Lion.